in our lives in Jesus' name. Father, as we continue in the service, Lord, as we hear your word again in this service, speak to us in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we've prayed. The song says that the Lord should shine. It said, shine, Jesus, shine. Fill the land with grace and glory. Blaze, spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. That song is meaningful in a time like this. Very meaningful. This afternoon, we want to quickly look at the dangerous prevalence of lukewarmness. Don't mind the grammar. In case, like Brother Theophilus said in the morning, it's not by grammar. The dangerous prevalence. When you say prevalence, you say something is prevailing, it's increasing, it's ascending, it's becoming more and more. The dangerous prevalence of lukewarmness. 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 Can we see Matthew 24, verse 3? In Matthew chapter 24, it says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him, that's unto the Lord Jesus, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Three questions were asked. When shall these things be? The destruction of Jerusalem? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And by the time you go to verse 11 to 14, part of the signs of his coming and of the end of the world. From verse 11, part of, he said, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Please, note verse 11. It says, many false prophets. And a prophet is anybody that says, thus says the Lord. So as I'm preaching the word of God, what am I doing? I'm prophesying. So in this context, the prophets are not just the people that will tell you, I see, I saw. This verse is not speaking of Prophet Jayola and Prophet Sidney. It's speaking of preachers, people that will tell you, this is the word of God. This is what the Bible says. This is what the word of the Lord is saying. Can we read it? It says, as a sign, can we see that verse 11 again? As one of the signs of his coming and of the end of the world, he said, there shall be many. Please note it. I'm emphasizing. He said, many shall rise. Many false preachers shall rise. And they will do something. They shall deceive few. Oh, church, you are alive. Thank you. They will deceive many. So one of the things you should know, that at the end time, many Christians will be deceived. Know it. That there will be many people preaching false words of God. And that many will be deceived. That's not where we are going to. I'm laying a foundation for something. Verse 12 also says something. And it says, because iniquity... Verse 12, please, we're still reading. We're reading up to verse 13. It says, because iniquity shall abound. Iniquity is sin. Sin shall increase. It says, as one of the signs of the end, because iniquity, sin shall abound. It says, the love of many shall wax cold. The love of God. First, the love of God, before we even talk of love of one another. The love of God shall wax cold because sin will increase. Note these signs. Then verse 13 says something. It says, but he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. Primarily, all, you can apply this also to the Israelites that will be enduring the persecution when the Antichrist comes. But there is also a portion of it for the church. Once again, let me repeat what he said. As one of the signs of the time of the end, as one of the signs of his coming, as some rather of the signs of his coming, there will be many false preachers. Last week we mentioned it now. Somebody came and where the Bible says, I am the Lord, I create the light and the darkness, I the Lord. A big preacher is saying that Isaiah was confused, that the Bible is wrong. That's what he's saying. Where do you fit him in? This is where he fits in. This is where he fits in. Many false preachers. That means Christianity will suffer a dangerous attack in the end time. If he says many false preachers will rise and deceive many, that means many people will say they are Christians at the end time and they will be deceived. It's happening, brethren. If you can understand these things, you will understand what kind of ministry God in his mercy has brought you to. Many people think we're just fanatics that don't know what we are saying. Concerning salvation, believe me you, this church knows what it is saying. Believe me you. And it says iniquity will increase, sin will increase. And because sin will increase, the love of God will wax cold. If we are going to have premiership, 5 minutes before the match starts, we are seated. Seated to watch World Cup. But if it's to come to church, let them finish Sunday school before I leave the house. You are fulfilling scripture. You are fulfilling scripture. No offense. Because nobody is giving you a report card for coming early or coming late. But just know who you are. He says, the love of many shall wax cold. He's speaking of the love of God first, before you now talk of the love for one another. Because love for one another starts first with the love for God. This is what you should know. And he says, either endure, because there'll be a lot of things that will kill the faith. There'll be a lot of things that will quench the true Christian light. Then he gave that statement in verse 13, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Praise the living God. So this raises the message of today, the dangerous prevalence of lukewarmness. I'll break it down in case you don't understand that grammar. The time we are living in, these days of our lives, especially this 21st century, from the 2000s downward to 2026, is a very interesting time in the history of mankind. Even physically, naturally, I can tell you it is obvious that mankind is heading somewhere. Something phenomenal is about to happen. People are wondering, what next for man? Where is the world going to? That's the question in the mind of people. I'm not even talking of spiritual people. Because the rapid change that man has been experiencing, let me say 30 years back. 30 years back could be from 1996 to now. The rapid change that you have seen in this 30 years period, the change you've seen, physically speaking, in science, in technology, in medicine, they are pointers that something is about to happen. Now we have AI. We have advances in medicine, IVF, etc. Even 30 years ago, you are talking of fax machine. For those that know fax machine, you are talking of physical map. You are talking of landline. But let's look at 30 years ago and now. Can you see the rapid change? Now you don't need to have TV. How many people even watch TV anymore? Everything is now easy. Communication. 30 years ago, man could not send a rocket and use it again. But now we are talking of reusable rockets. That means a rocket will go, it will land again, they can use it again. It will save them money building another one. 30 years ago, you needed to go to the queue, go to the bank and queue, sign checkbook, sign this one, this one. For many of us, it's only when you want to collect ATM card that you remember bank. Many of us, so like me, if you tell me I have to go to the bank, like I hate it. It's not like a waste of time. You just call, they'll send you the documents, you sign, you scan back. But those days, you have to go on the queue and carry cash and carry this and carry that. Don't you see that bank robberies have reduced? Now, what do we have? Hackers and scammers. Telling you that mankind is undergoing a rapid change. Where those days that you have to count money, count money, count money. Several people now gave their offerings to transfer today. But 30 years ago, it was not so. Even when you talk of entertainment, at least 30 years ago, some people were still using black and white TV in this part of the world. Is that right? And then you needed to wait for what the television station will show you. And then we are talking of cassettes, video cassettes, VHS, as bigger than this phone. Before you can watch what you want. Before you know it, CDs, DVDs. Before you know it, who talks about DVD and CD anymore? Even in Bride Assembly, we hardly sell We'll just tell you, go and download the message. We don't produce DVDs again. It is telling you the rapid change that is happening to man. And even these people who are not believers, they are telling you, they are forecasting that we are heading somewhere. I saw an interview of the richest man in the world, Elon Musk, and he was talking about AI. And one of his predictions is how AI, if you don't know the meaning of AI, is artificial intelligence. It is where science and technology has advanced to. And one of his predictions is how AI is going to take over some people's jobs. He keeps talking about what we are expecting, you know, and even among the scientific world, there is a fear that what will happen to man. Some are afraid that a time will come when robots will no longer be under your control. Those AI will not be under your control. Now, they will have an independent mind of their own. So anything they want to do, they can do. All this is point. So there is this nervousness, this anxiety in the world that what is man expecting? Mankind is wondering what will happen next. Where are we heading? Now they are talking about colonizing the moon, colonizing Mars, so that the race now is how they can go to another planet, how they can find another habitable world for man. Because they have lost hope in the earth. They have lost hope. They know that this earth is headed for destruction. So there's this race about, let's get another world and only the rich will be able to afford it. Are you seeing what is going on? But they need not wonder. The Bible already declares to us what will happen next. Somebody shout hallelujah. That's why we're intimacy believers. We know what is next. For the church, the next thing is the rapture. The last revival promised before the rapture, according to this Bible, is what we're experiencing now. A revival back to the full word of God. Don't expect any other major revival. The John's ministry, this one. Don't expect what the revival is happening now. And those that it is ordained for, they are seeing it. And their spirit is being revived. But for the world, what next is the rise of the Antichrist and the end of the world, the day of the Lord. So let the church know that what next for us is the rapture. But now, that's not where we are going to. I needed to say that because there's a prophecy in the Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ prophesied that at this end time, just before the rapture of the church, there will be a condition known as lukewarmness in the church. He's talking to his church. He said just at that time, that end of time, that last church before the rapture, a spiritual condition will arise known as lukewarmness. Let's see it. Revelation chapter 7, verse 14 to 16. In the book of Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, there are messages to seven churches. And if you're an old member of this church, we have taught you that those seven churches are the seven church ages. And the last church is the last generation before the rapture. And that's the generation we are. Now, this is the message that he sent to them. And I said unto him, Revelation 3:14, not 7:14. This is the message he sent to the church. It is called the church at Laodicea. He said unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things say the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. So it's Lord Jesus speaking. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou art cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, because you are lukewarm, because you are neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Brethren, this is the message of the Lord Jesus to the church. He was not talking to the false church. He was talking to the true church. Many of us have thought that that message of lukewarmness is speaking to the people in error, the people in... No. I will prove it to you that he's speaking to even the true church that says they have found the truth. He's speaking to the true Christians, the true believers. The Lord Jesus is saying that at the time of the end, before the rapture will take place, a condition will arise in his church known as lukewarmness. That is why I'm telling you this afternoon, the dangerous prevalence. It is prevailing, it is happening, and it is increasing. There will be lukewarmness in the end time church among the true believers. Lukewarmness. Now, let's define, let's explain what lukewarmness is. Can you show me the diagram of what lukewarmness is? There are some pictures I want you to see. The pictures on lukewarmness. When you say something is lukewarm, please enlarge it. You can see three cups. There's the hot, there's the cold, and in between there is what? Oh, sisters, you're not responding to me. There is hot, there is cold, and there is what? The hot has high temperature, produces steam, is strong and active, gets attention quickly. The cold has low temperature, no steam, can refresh but may cause discomfort, less appealing to some. Now, see the lukewarm. Moderate temperature, no steam, neither refreshing nor stimulating. This is physical definition. Easily ignored, comfortable but ineffective. What is lukewarm, or lukewarmness rather? A temperature that is neither cold nor hot. Please still leave it there for a few seconds. When you say somebody is lukewarm or something is lukewarm, that means it is neither hot nor cold. It is in between hot and cold. You can't say it's hot. You can't say it's cold. You can't say it's hot. You touch it, it's not hot. You touch it, it's not cold. So the name that describes such a condition, the word that describes it is lukewarm. Lukewarm. Show me the next picture. I think we have about three pictures. What brings about lukewarmness is something known as heat transfer. Something is hot. When the heat leaves it, when the heat is leaving it, in fact, when it leaves it, it becomes lukewarm. It becomes lukewarm. Why do you think sometimes you have to warm your food before you eat it? When you taste it, it's just summer. It's lukewarm. It's not cold. It's not hot. You're like, what kind of food is this? Brethren, it is also a spiritual condition among believers in this end time. And I can tell you many of us are suffering from this condition. The next picture. How lukewarmness occurs. Mixing hot water and cold water produces lukewarm water. The water is hot, the water is cold. There are other ways, but I just chose these basic ones. Lukewarm is in between hot and in between cold. Not hot, not cold. That is lukewarm. Now let's break it down. Let's bring it home. When you say hot, the born again Christian, the true believer, is that hot water. The true Christian is supposed to be the hot water. The unbeliever, the sinner, is supposed to be the cold water. Why is the Christian hot? Has it occurred to you why that the first time man received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the upper room, what did they see? Oh, if you know it, say it. What did they see? To let you know that those that will receive the Holy Ghost are supposed to be hot. In the book of Acts chapter 2, let's read it from verse 1. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were together in one accord, in one place. Verse 2, as suddenly there came from heaven a sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Verse 3, and there appeared, this is where I'm going to, unto them, cloven tongues, like as of what? So, and he did what? He sat upon each of them. Oh, you're not showing me. He sat upon each of them. That means I'm seeing you. If you carry fire, will you be cold? I'm seeing you. You're seeing fire. You're seeing me. I'm seeing fire. What happened? We have just received eternal life. We are carrying the flame of God upon us. That means we will be hot. They were so hot that the whole of Jerusalem knew that something happened that day. So the Christian is the hot water. The unbeliever is that cold water. The sinner is cold, the Christian is hot. But there is another condition, another temperature in between. Lukewarmness. Where the Christian is supposed to be hot is not hot, and he cannot be cold because he has identified with Christ. He's in the church. The church is supposed to be a place of fire. So there is a temperature where you can hide. I'm not cold, I'm not hot, I am lukewarm. This is the condition that many of us are suffering from today. You are already hot because you came to Christ. You are supposed to be hot because you came to Christ, if Christ has truly received you. You can't be cold anymore because you have identified with Christ. But there is a condition that many of us are experiencing. Everybody knows you to be a Christian. You go to church. You came to church this morning. You are connected online now. So you are hot now. You are not cold. You are not like the unbeliever that has gone to the beer parlor this morning. Or that is still sleeping from hangover of nightclub. So you are identifying with Christ. That means you are not cold. You are not in the world. You are a worker in the church. That means you are not cold now. You give your tithe and your offering. You pray. That means you're not cold. But there is another condition, lukewarm. And that's the condition of many of us. The symptoms of lukewarmness are manifesting among the believers of our generation. More and more, the statement of Apostle Paul that let him that thinketh is stand, take it, lest he falls, is making more sense to me. For example, let's see practical examples of this lukewarmness. I love how our Sunday school teacher also put it. When you know the word of God, you know what the Bible is saying. You even quote it and you are not doing it. You are lukewarm. James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. Let's read it. Certain symptoms of lukewarmness before we go deeper. He says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, it's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. That is a lukewarm person. Pope is Antichrist. Pope is Antichrist. But you are living a life against Christ. Despite the knowledge you say you have, you are lukewarm. Denomination is of the devil. Water baptism is in Jesus' name. Denomination is the devil. You are quick to say it. But brother, sister, preaching the end time message, what about your life? That's one example of lukewarmness. Many of us know the message by mouth, by head, but the fruit we bear doesn't reflect the message we receive because we are lukewarm. Go to the gate of heaven and be telling them if there is a gate. Acts 2:38, I preached it, I quoted it. That's not what they'll look at. It's not in talking the gospel. It's in living the gospel. Another area, example of lukewarmness, is when we are doing service for God, but not living a life pleasing before God. You're a servant of God, you're a worker in the vineyard, but your life is contrary to God. You are lukewarm. God is using your voice, but he's not using your acts to live a life pleasing. You are lukewarm. You are singing in the church, but living contrary to Christ. You are lukewarm. You are preaching, but not living a holy life. You are lukewarm. You are prophesying. You are a worker in any area in the church, but your life does not reflect the gospel we are preaching, that is an example of lukewarmness. Outward holiness in the church, but secret sin at home. You know, now everybody knows you that this is what you identify with. Everybody knows you as pastor. So publicly, man of God, woman of God, they respect you now because you are identifying with Christ. They're even seeing you working for him. There's the honor, there's the respect. But secretly, what are you doing? When you leave the public view, what do you live? How do you live? Outward holiness but secret sin is a symptom of lukewarmness. That's why our pastor says regularly that you don't know a Christian in the church. Everybody has put on the garment of holiness now that we're in the church, lifting up holy hands. Thank God we don't command everybody to speak in tongues in this church. If not, as we went akai, ba 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 ba, oh. That's outward, public show. How do we live when nobody is seeing us? What do we do in the secrets? What do you do with your phone? What do you do when you feel nobody can see you or catch you? Publicly, you condemn sin, but privately, you condone it. That's lukewarmness. People see you as a respectable Christian. Outwardly, you are serious, you are sober, but secretly, you are compromising. That is lukewarmness. Lukewarmness is prevailing in the church. I'm talking of the true church. Forget, see, the fire is for the true church. People that don't even understand repentance and faith in the name of Jesus, water baptism in Jesus' name, which fire will they receive? What they have out there is painted fire, not true fire. The fire is among true believers, those that have truly met with the Lord. Those that have really encountered the Lord through genuine repentance, that have had a true salvation experience. But it is also among this category of people that this condition of lukewarmness will come. So don't look outside. Denomination, people that are not living, forget that. Let's look inside. You think because you have heard Bride Assembly, you have heard the message, you have heard the end time message, you have automatically reached heaven. No. It is you that this condition will follow, will come after. Lukewarmness. You are prayerful, but you are not holy. That's lukewarmness. You know how you serve your God. You can fast, you can pray. You have faith to move God, to receive things from God. You are consistent in prayers and fasting. But in only living, you are zero. You are lukewarm. Don't think your prayerfulness is the spirituality. Serious in prayer but playful in holiness. Symptom of lukewarmness. When we fall easily into compromise and sin, fall easily into sin and compromise, it is evidence that we are lukewarm. Are you saying a Christian cannot fall? I didn't say so. I said when you fall easily into sin and compromise, it is evidence that you are lukewarm. When you fail easily under trial, everywhere is blocked because you're a Christian. Then you look left, look right. God, we understand. You fail easily under temptation and trial. It is evidence of lukewarmness. You know why? Proverbs 24 verse 10. Proverbs 24 verse 10. He says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. So the temptations, the trials that come our way are to reflect the strength we have. You are tempted and you fall easily into sin and compromise. It is evidence that you have little strength. So it's evidence you are lukewarm. A trial is coming because of your faith in Christ and easily you fail. It is evidence you have little strength. If many of us will sincerely look within, you will discover that this condition is prevailing amongst us. It's not just there. Christians that are lively in the church and lively in the world. On some people's phone now, they have sang "Gone from My Heart." Let the phone ring out. When you hear the ringing tone, you'll be surprised. If you hear the ringing tone of some of us, I don't know which song I will use as ringing tone. If you hear the ringing tone of some of us, and yet you can open your mouth, the word and only. You see, we on the pulpit, we see a lot of things. Doing worship now, everybody, oh, Jesus, oh, some people will even be crying. Rolling down this and that. After service, meet them and see the fruits they produce. You are serious in church, but unserious in Christian living, another symptom of lukewarmness. You can easily read your Bible and you can easily watch Nollywood, Hollywood, easily. Nothing is checking you. Watch things that are not adding value to you. It's lukewarmness. So don't explain it away. You can watch Telemundo, watch Zero, watch all those things. Then still wake up in midnight for midnight prayer. So to you, because you woke up and pray, you feel you are spiritual. You are lukewarm. If your song should start playing now, we connect it to speaker. We'll hear gospel song 1. We'll hear gospel song 2. We'll hear gospel song 3. If it's on shuffle, the next song we'll hear, everybody will be wondering, are we in the church? Lukewarm. You are a brother, a sister in the Lord, but you can still watch pornography. You have not denied Christ, though. This lukewarm condition is not people that have denied Christ. Those ones are cold. Cold people may also be in the church. Cold people may also be in the church. But these lukewarm ones, cold people can come to church now. Anybody can follow you. Anybody can come to church. It's a public place. They can even come as a spectator. But these lukewarm people, they are people that are supposedly connected to the source of fire, Christ. Let's look within. Let me not say up to now, because it's been a while. It's not even a testimony. I heard that shameful thing in our church. People, Christians are still doing parties. Your own social function. Your own. It is your own. It is your money. And you are still packing a call for unbelievers that come in your own. When we do the world, we will do the church. When we do the church now, it is your function. So, have you defined your faith? It's lukewarmness. Don't explain it away. It's lukewarmness. Little issues will come up, and you will, when you see the reaction of certain of us, you'll be wondering, did this person really meet to Christ? I had something that pained me, and I hope it's settled. Forgive me, I'm a preacher. The two sisters had an issue. Whether it's a misunderstanding, and a sister's statement is, because you are not yet a mother. That is why I heard it, Sister Anne, I heard it. It's because you are not yet a mother. Was talking back to another sister in the church during women's conference. And the sister that said this thing is somebody I know. And I know how she understands end time message. I said I know how she understands, how zealous she is. But see the fruits that can come out of her. And from the explanation I got from a third party, it was not as if this person did anything very, just maybe you misunderstood somebody. But they said, I beg, leave her alone. She doesn't know what she's saying. Now that's somebody that is hot. But you see that person that made, that's lukewarmness. And the righteous falleth 7 times, rise again. When he says the righteous fall 7 times, it means there is an end to the falling of the righteous. Your little baby learning to walk will keep falling. A time will come when the baby will no longer fall, when it's trying. That means the baby has grown. But if the baby reaches age 3 and is still falling, you will know that something is wrong. You will know that this baby is sick. Something is wrong. So whatever weakness that has prevailed for too long, it is either you have not truly received Christ or you are completely lukewarm. Many of us do our Christianity for the applause of men. That people will church will hail you. Of course, you can't listen to the message from this pulpit and truly deceive yourself to believe such kind of Christianity. When we fall easily into sin, compromise, temptations. Even when we serve God. Now, let's even bring it to area of service, working for God. When you are not consistent in your service for God, it is a symptom of lukewarmness. Today you are up, tomorrow you are down. In your service for God, it's a symptom of lukewarmness. Because your own service, you see, Romans 12, 11 says, be fervent in spirits. Romans 12, 11, yes. Not slothful in business. That means a Christian should not be lazy in whatever they are doing. In your business, in your job, don't be lazy, be diligent. But it also says, fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. If you can go from Monday to Friday and meet up time with your job and business, and you can comfortably come late to church, you are lukewarm. And please, to us members of this church, it's a shame on us. When I came to Bread Assembly in 2011, 8 o'clock, the church is almost full. Those days that we'll do Bible reading, then do Bible study, Sunday school, after Bible reading, the general Bible reading, then we'll do Sunday school, before worship, before sermon. Sometimes we'll leave church 2, 3. I'm telling you. Oh, am I saying something? Before 9 a.m., the church is almost full. People who want to come and hear the word of God. But now you are seeing people. It is a shameful thing. It pains me when I see people go late to church. It pains me so much. Don't say because you're a pastor. Which pastor? Before I became pastor, why did they sit down? Why was I able to sit in the front? It is a slap to God's face. But it doesn't matter to you. You're overtaking it. It is evidence you are lukewarm. That's why to you it doesn't matter. The fact that you can justify going late to church shows that you don't have fire anymore. Because if you have a flight by 7, you will not miss it. And you know the painful thing? There is something that kills our spiritual life. You know what it is? So far, God is blessing me. You just talk your own. Shebi, I came late to church. I prayed. Prophet speak me that day. I came late to church. God bless me. That's the thing. Ah. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The God that causes his rain to fall on the wicked and the good. The God that causes his sun to fall on, to shine on the just and the evil. If you ever use any material, physical blessing as evidence of approval with God, you have missed it. You have missed it. God blessed Isaac. Can I tell you, he also blessed Ishmael. He gave gifts to all his children. But he gave all. So there were other things that Isaac had that the other children did not have. They whine yourself, say, God, they help me. God, they bless me. He thinks you are fine. You think you are fine with him. I pity you. A day of reckoning will come. You don't use any answer to prayer as evidence of approval. You have an obligation to cross-check your life with the word of God. This is what he's judging us by. Not whether he did you good. He said, work out your own salvation. You know what I mean of that? Be checking that the experience you have is matching how God designed it to be. That's the meaning of work out. He didn't say work for. Work out your own salvation. You have had an experience, Abi, very good. Let it produce the right fruit. And evidence that it is truly God that worketh in you is that the experience you have will produce the right life. But many of us, the experience we have is making us live contrary to scriptures, and we are okay. Lukewarmness. Among many of us, you are in a department. Today you serve, tomorrow you don't serve. Not because of anything that can hinder you, but just out of convenience. His lukewarmness there is on you. When the apostles walked on the earth, there was a testimony they had. He said, men, I think it's in Acts 17, they were called men that have hazarded their lives for the work of Christ. That's how the Bible refers to them. Men that have hazarded their lives. That means they have put their life in danger. Christianity. I'm only trying to make us see clearly that that message is not to the false church. It's to true believers. And many of us are local. Many of us are. How do we contract this lukewarmness? It's easy. The picture we saw, it says hot. Hot plus cold. Can we see that diagram again? Hot plus cold equals to lukewarm. Hot water, cold water. You are a Christian, so you are that hot water. To be lukewarm is easy. It's very easy. That is part of working on your salvation, so that you watch against things that will make you lukewarm. How? When you add cold water in the right measures to that hot water, you will turn it to lukewarm water. If many of us we take a reflection, let's think back. If you truly have a salvation experience, how was it when you first met the Lord, and how is it now? I'm talking to somebody. If you truly have a salvation experience, if you truly encountered Christ, how was it when you met the Lord, and how are you now? It's easy to contract lukewarmness. It's just add the cold. And when we talk of the cold, there are many things that can symbolize the cold. When we talk of the cold water, it could mean many things. It could even mean association with the cold people in the church. Because Daddy said it in the last sermon he preached. He said, let's never think that a time will come where we will have a church without negative wire, without tests. They are ordained to be in the church. Tests. For the light to shine, there is a positive wire, there is a negative wire, and there is what? The neutral. The neutral is that lukewarm person. It's easy to lose your fire. It's easy to contract lukewarmness. Just add cold. And one easy way many of us contract it is by associating with cold people. People who are spiritually dead, even in the church. 1 Corinthians 15:33. I love that scripture. It says, be not deceived. You can deceive yourself. Somebody is spiritually dead. You can be saying, I'm trying to help. No. Save yourself first. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Be not deceived. Evil association will make you lukewarm. A brother was telling me in confidence, and he was confessing something, so it was not gossip. How that truly, when Daddy mentioned that somebody's house in this church is the house of gossip, he said he knows the person. And he started telling me the things that that brother has told him about the church and about the overseer that are not true. He said, if you listen to him, and that person I'm telling you, can I shock you? He's a very good worker in this church. This person that is saying all manner of evil things. He's not only a good worker. They are part of those that portray themselves as close to the overseer. So when you see me as close to the overseer, if I tell you something, won't you believe it? And you know why I believe him? Not quite long after he told me, another brother told me that their cases are not even, they was telling me what they, and that when he was talking that, they say, I don't record me. And part of what he said is that the overseer is not a Christian. Part of what he said. And this person come, oh, my daddy in the Lord, my daddy in the Lord, my daddy in the Lord. What I'm saying it is that this particular brother told me that this, if you listen to this person, you will hate the church and the pastor. What is that person's ministry? If you associate yourself with a cold person like that, you'll be lukewarm.
There are many people that have stopped serving in the church because of who you are associated with. This year, a sister came to me. It's Sister Philippa. I need to say it publicly. And she was saying she doesn't know that I'm a Christian because she was told things different from what she was seeing. I don't know if she's in the church. Sister Philippa, am I saying something true? She said this is not what she was told. Now, I don't want to go there because it's good not to wash your dirty linen publicly. But she was shocked when she, maybe ministry brought her closer. She was surprised that this is not. Why am I referring to it? Your associates will corrupt your manners. In spiritual journey, you must guard who you walk with. I don't know how to say this. When you come to church, don't come and make friends. You are born into a family. So the onus is on you to look who is a true brother, who is a true sister, and walk close with that person. If you walk with cold people, you will become lukewarm. Praise the living God. In spiritual journey, your association matters. Whether it's in your group, whether it's in the church, whether it's in your department. It is, see, some people are enough as acquaintances. I didn't say you should carry face and not greet people. Some people are enough and be sweet to everybody. But I'm talking of your companions. If that brother or sister is not going the heavenly way, disconnect yourself. Disconnect yourself. If you won't go, don't hinder me. Abraham was traveling. God did not ask Lot to follow him. He was accommodating Lot. The promise could not come because he carried excess baggage, Lot. God needed to orchestrate a problem. Then he told Lot, enough is enough. I love you, but we must go our separate ways. If you go this way, I'll go this way. Then something happened in Genesis 13 verse 14. Genesis 13 verse 14. I love the statement that the Bible put it. He said, and the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him. The Lord said to Abraham, after that Lot left him, now lift up your eyes. Look where you are. Northward, southward, eastward, and westward. It is now that I will bless you. But when Lot was with him, it was a distraction. Some people will be a big distraction to your spiritual growth. You must separate from them. Give them red card, not yellow card. Red. Friendship in the church is not by force. Look for somebody that is traveling the same path with you. Let me tell you something. Let me still emphasize this issue of cold people. An enemy of the church that you associate with will make you hate the church. An enemy of the church. Some people have left the church. Not that they had any issue with anybody, with the pastor, with anything. Not that they have seen another place where they can hear better sermons. Not that they have seen another place where there is more anointing. It is because their associates have told them things about the church that has poisoned their mind. I pity you. If you live where God has ordained you to be, you're on your own. Every Christian is like a soldier. And a soldier must belong to a base, a cantonment, a barrack. That is where you are deployed to. If you leave Ojo barracks as an army officer and say you prefer Odoguyon in Ikorodu, that's where you want to go and be. Your name is not on the register there. You're on your own. That is how true children of God are. When you associate yourself with enemies of the church, you will hate the church. You will hate the church. So if you, and some of us don't think, somebody is telling you things, don't you have an independent mind to confirm by yourself? Don't you have an independent mind? Brother Levinus, I don't know if Brother Levinus is around. He's not around. We were both talking about a brother that was a worker in this church. And he was telling me his experience. He said, truly, when you associate yourself with people that have left this ministry, he said some of them are calling him. You have left the church, you'll be calling him. Hey, I have riders, I'm dying in a church day. Hey, waiting to happen. I mean, you have left the church. Why are you calling me to find out what was going on? He said he had to cut off from such people. But there was somebody that was accommodating them. Maybe you are even listening to me now. Now you know. Accommodating them until they poisoned his mind about the church. Two cannot work together except they be agreed. You are associating with somebody that is feeding you gossips about people. And you are just swallowing in no independent mind. Even if the person is a worker or a minister in the church, you have an independent mind. And secondly, you didn't come to church to judge matters. You came to hear the word of God. If the word of God is not affected in your church, leave matter for Matthias. Listen to the word. When an issue came up years ago, some of us were in the youth fellowship. The issue was, you know, you people, old members, you know the issue that wanted to scatter the church. Where all manner of people were ganging up against the pastor. And some people were expecting some of us to leave the church. Some of us to come out and fight the overseer. At the grace, I came here for my salvation. The word of God is not removed. God is still visiting me in the church. So I should leave things that don't concern me. He did not stop me from sitting in my front seat and saying amen to the prayer of the pastor. In fact, he didn't stop us from doing rapture watch together. So when God can turn things around and make me an associate pastor in this church, you can see some of the reasons. Leave unnecessary things alone. It doesn't concern you. You come to church and people are feeding you with things that are not edifying you. And you too that like listening to gossip, you get problem. You have a serious problem. You are distracted. Watch it. You will know when Satan does an assignment, Satan does not come with us as a monster. He always comes as a beautiful angel. When he does an assignment on you, you won't even know. You have been listening to gossip. Check your spiritual scale. Since the time that person started telling you nonsense about the church, check your spiritual scale. It was since that time you started coming late to church. Watch it. It was since that time you became, your hands in the work of God became weak. Watch it. It was since that time you started abhorring some brothers and sisters in your heart. You don't know somebody, you are abhorring the person in your heart. If you don't separate from cold people, you will be lukewarm. I'm talking of cold people in the church first though. You will be lukewarm. We want to go somewhere and somebody is telling, hey, now every day we're going to do this thing in the church. Now every day we're going to do evangelism. Lukewarmness has started. Before you know, you're entertaining the person. You too, you'll be saying, every day we're going to do this thing. They say if you are all your friends, the people you are surrounded with all the time, they say, abroad. Very soon, what will you start saying? If you don't separate from cold people in the church, forget it. How can you be in an end time message church like this? And your companion, people you met in the church, now church bring you now close. I'm not talking of business associates or neighbors. There are people that are not interested in what the end time message is saying or doing. Your sister friend in the church is talking to you about certain weavon and wigs and attachments. Your sister friend in the church is talking about things that we say you should cut off from. And that is the person you are calling sister. So you don't know the sisters, you don't know your own sisters. Your parent told you that there's a sister you have that is not in your house. Please, lovers of sin will make you love sin. Separate from cold people in the church. Another way we contract lukewarmness is that even out there in the world, we don't define our stand. So we still associate with cold people outside the church. See, you can't but help it. You will meet with cold people outside the church. The unbelievers are dead, they're cold. Your neighbors, your business associates, the people that buy from you, your workers, everybody, it can be a Christian. But you as a Christian, you have an obligation to define your stand. You have an obligation to define your stand. Once in a while, let me say this because the question was asked on Thursday. When I have the chance, I have a gym that I go to in Ago. From that gym, I brought 3 people to this church. 3 people. When I go, once I enter, pastor, I've not preached to anybody there. And if I'm alone, I'm telling you this, Mama Great, Brother Uche's wife. I don't know if Mommy Great is Sister Great. You know the gym I'm talking of. Thank you, ma. When I go, if I'm alone, because I'm there, they will change the music to gospel. You know what I'm saying? Anybody that goes to the gym in our generation, you know what we see in the gym. If your sister, you're going to gym, you need extra grace. So. And just know that when you go, be open to toasting. I'm not saying you should not go. I'm just telling you, in Lagos, in Nigeria, you are a potential babe to be toasted when you go to the gym as a woman. Whether you are married or not, just know so. We see all manner of things. Why am I saying this? My stand is clearly defined. So nobody can come and firstly say nonsense. The last person I even invited was also a pastor, a missionary. And anytime now, we send him our link. I will send, because I know he's all this. I don't know if he's watching, sorry. He's a denominational missionary. So I let him know, there's this kind of church. Anytime, pastor, my stand is defined. And I'm telling you, some of them didn't even know I was a pastor. The first person that came and told me, he first asked, because he saw me different. I'm going there to exercise for my health. This person, you're different. Sir, are you a pastor? Before you know, I enter. Yes, I belong to Bride Assembly. That brother has come here several times. Anytime I bring them, I take them to Prophet Joseph. Then he will enter prophecy. Before you know, their eyes are opened. Whenever they have the chance, they're here. Three people. Evangelist Obina, one day, you told me about one guy that was looking for me. He's a coach. I told you, that's my coach from the gym. He came to the church to look for me. I'm only bringing this that we can't but mix with unbelievers. My neighbor in my compound, four different unit apartments, they are all Catholics. But I've shared the testimony before, how that I got to that house and made a difference. Even without preaching, they will see you and be calling you pastor. Even you as a woman, do they know that a woman should not be a pastor? But why is it that many of us are in the world, we mix with people, we don't define our stand? Then somebody is coming to, and when I say they call me pastor, it's not because I entered there and I'm doing like this. It's not because I entered there and I'm doing like this, don't talk to me. It's not because I'm saying, God bless you. No. There's just something they will notice and they'll know that this one is not. When they tell their dirty jokes, why are you laughing? When they do their dirty things, why are you putting mouth? When they come to you and they're saying all manner of things, when they're plotting evil and speaking ill of somebody, they come to you. You two, you're putting mouth. Then they will see you as one of them. You have cleaned the line of demarcation. Before you know it, somebody can be drinking and say, take this NSC, share with us. You know, it's an insult to you as a Christian. If you don't make your stand clearly known to the unbelievers and you associate with them, they'll make you lukewarm. Whether in your office or business place. Business place, everybody is doing a manner of things. You two, you are joining them to do it. They are doing things that you know are contrary to the faith. You two, you are putting mouth, doing it with them. Putting money, doing it with them. Unbelievers are gathering to go and drink in a table. They cannot respect you, son of God, enough to say, this one a pastor, make we leave him. Then they will go with them. I will take malt, but I will not drink with them. What are you doing there in the first place? I'll take malt. It doesn't matter. I will take malt with them. Nobody say you go party. I said you people went to a bar. Because in the party, whatever you see, you don't expect an unbeliever to do party to your standard. But now, your friends in the world called you and you both went to a bar. And they sat down on the same table, talking with you, drinking. And you two, Coke, Fanta, malt. Before you know it, you see, especially if you have tested it before. Sometimes you will know that you have not died, you only fainted. Keep associating yourself. What you see will start giving you a message. When they just be desiring it. I remember the taste of app. I remember the taste of anything. There must be a clear line of separation between you and unbelievers, brethren. If sinners don't know who you are, they will confuse you for one of them. Did you hear me? If sinners don't know who you are, they will confuse you for one of them. So every opportunity you have, pass a statement that you are redeemed. You are not of the world. It includes your dressing. It includes your dressing. And when that person asked the question on Thursday, I also said something. Now, I'm not saying if you want to go to the gym as a woman, you should wear skirt. We've defined functional wears. But do you know, I've been in that same gym. I saw an elderly woman, no earring, skirts, and was doing her exercise. I didn't need to be told. I knew that she belonged to a holiness-believing church. So when somebody sees somebody like that, we look and be talking nonsense with the person. The reason why certain men can do, baby, how are you, to some of you sisters is because of the way you appear. Baby, how are you, Christian sister? Now you are saying Holy Ghost fire. We know that even when you are natural and you are well-dressed, people will be attracted to you, certainly. But let's look at it. You pass from here to here, Agbero, baby, how are you? Before you reach another junction, oh girl, how are you? Before you reach another junction, vehicles are winding down, they're looking at you. At that time, I don't think it is modesty anymore. I think it's because you presented yourself to be sexual. If you don't define your stand, unbelievers will confuse you as one of them. And when they come close to you like that, rumbling on their spirit, see, people carry spirits. And your association, the Bible says in Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with the wise shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Proverbs 13 verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. This is it. People carry spirit. People carry spirit. I came to Bride Assembly. I saw youth contending, tearing the entire message. I said, no, I must understand this Bible. The next Saturday, I gathered them in their meeting, weekly meeting. After vigil, 3 p.m., we were here. I started questioning all of them. Questioning all of them. Before you knew it, joining them every week, the spirit came upon me. I came to Bride Assembly. I heard the message. I bought a lot of CDs. Went to listen to what these people are saying. Before you know it, I became a teacher of it. Are you following me? I came to Bride Assembly. I've given that testimony before. I said, where we are coming from, to maintain your holiness, to even shake a sister, is you are losing sanctification. You are losing sanctification. Now, not to even talk of even maybe she's too close to you, you're hugging her by the, you want to go to hell. Everybody is holier than thou. But I came here, I noticed a different spirit. Now, I'm carrying that spirit because this is my association. Brother, sister, the people you work with transfer spirits to you. Watch anybody that is close to Pastor Moses. You will see that they behave like him. They are humorous. Are we not humorous in Bride Assembly Church? You see, are we not humorous? Oh, some people don't understand that grammar. Ah, go take breakdown. Okay, we joke, we play, right? It doesn't reduce our anointing. But out there in some churches, it has to be, man of God doesn't laugh. When you say good morning, we answer you kalabababababa. So evidence is spiritual. What am I bringing out? The people you walk with transfer spirit to you. Continue working with a gossip or a liar, you will not know the day you tell your first lie. Walk with a fornicator, you will start fornicating. Walk with a thief, you start stealing. Both in the church and in the world. In the church, delete, block, give red card to cold people. In the world, make your line clear. Make your stand clear. Another thing that makes us lukewarm are distractions. Certain distractions. For instance, social media. Social media has taken the place of the communion of the Holy Ghost in the life of many of us. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion. Communion means fellowship. He says, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That means as we are all going, we are not leaving. We are continuing with fellowship with the Spirit. But I can tell you, majority of us, when we are not in the church, we are fellowshipping with our phone. Social media has taken the place of the Holy Ghost in the life of many. Any rest time you have, dopamine from social media. 3 hours scrolling, but you have not spent 1 hour reading your Bible. What are you getting from it? I'm not talking of those who are doing their business through it. I'm talking of you that you are doing it for entertainment. It will make you look home. It will be hard to delete a certain app because something funny was happening this last week. Waiting concern me, say P-Square, they fight. But you know what was happening? I kept reading and reading the story and reading the story and reading. When anybody drops his own comment about it, I will go and read. I beg, how it affects me? They are not even my type of people. They are not of the same faith or kingdom in me that I should be concerned. They are not men of God. Neither are they in the same field of ministry with me. But also, it got to a point for you to know when we say lukewarmness, many of us think we have overcome, but look within you, see that many of us are, what am I learning from this? Okay, that blood brothers, twins can fight, Abi. Don't I know that the Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked? Is he a new thing? If a mother can fight her son, is he a twin that cannot fight themselves? So I just discovered I was wasting my time. I was distracted. Now, it was exciting because whenever you are using social media, your brain is releasing a hormone called dopamine. It is that hormone that makes you want to keep doing it. It is similar to what people who take drugs get from the drugs. So many of us don't even know that we are addicted to social media. Do you know some of us delete Facebook for 30 days? You fall sick. You're addicted. These are some distractions that can make us lukewarm. Activities that don't feed you spiritually can make you lukewarm. As a Christian, you must live your life in a way that you have time for spiritual activities. How can you go all through a week, no time to hear a sermon or read your Bible? You'll be lukewarm now, and you're coming in contact. You are in a world that is controlled by Satan, the god of this world. You have not designed a spiritual program for yourself. Throughout, from Sunday to Sunday, no opportunity to hear the word of God, whether through a sermon or through reading the Bible. But even if you are praying, that is not enough. The food of the Spirit is the word of God. Prayer will not make you grow. Prayer is asking God to do something for you. If you want to be truly spiritual, it is not by praying. Prayer has its part, but the source of spiritual growth is the word of God. 1 Peter 2 verse 2 and 3 says so. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. Then you are wondering why you are spiritually weak and lukewarm. When you don't have time for the word of God, how will you grow? So some distractions like that make us lukewarm. Some of us are overburdened with problems. Our problems have beclouded our hearts, that you have forgotten the reason why you're a Christian. See, the reason you're in Christ is not to be a billionaire. And this one is painful now because everybody wants to be rich. The primary reason that God saved you is for the salvation of your soul. So whatever problem will make you so distracted that you're no more looking at your spiritual life, that problem will make you lukewarm. I've once shared my testimony also in a sermon. I said I came to a church like this, I'll be expecting, the person that even invited me to this church, he invited me so that when I come, solution for my mad mother will be given. So he brought me in 2011 thinking, once we come, my mother will be healed, cured of the madness. Till she died in 2023. Nothing happened. Unknown to him, God used him to bring me where I'll be saved. So was I not concerned about it? I prayed. But that's not I will not allow that problem to turn my attention away from the reason that Christ saved me. Christ did not save you to solve your problems. He saved you to give you salvation. So you are too beclouded with your problems that you don't even look at your spiritual life, your spiritual growth. And unknown to you, you keep delaying God's hand. Because God wants you to get to an estate where it is either Jesus or nothing. That problem can be solved today and you may die tomorrow. So when you die and the problem is solved, but your spiritual life is not settled, where will you go? Those are certain things that make some of us look home. I've not married. I'm approaching 40. I'm approaching 50. It has so weighed you down that you don't even give heed to your spiritual growth anymore. It will make you look home. All your prayer is about problems. When was the last time, apart from Holy Ghost camp, that you prayed for your spiritual life? This morning, I still saw it. Pray, God, give me power to do your will. Some people were looking at me as if I was speaking Greek. But when we prayed, accidents, any plan, change of gear, zeal, fervency, pray, Father, make me a Christian. How can your problems becloud you so much that you have forgotten the reason that God saved you? Lukewarmness. Cares of life. I want to be rich. I want to be this. I want to be that. Should never make you lukewarm. Let me say this openly for the first time. Many people don't know why I dropped out from school. I dropped out from school when I came here because I was looking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Many people don't know. I could not consider. When calculus was on my head, I was doing computer science. Calculus wanted to finish me. Now I've met end time message because it was in this just before I got to school that I became a Christian in 2010. Then 2011, I was in school. I met end time message, I will come. I was so desperate that I could not focus in school again. I dropped out saying, let me first get this, I will go back. Now, it is after I dropped out, seeking what I was seeking for. It was when I found what I was looking for that I wanted to go back that a different message came that it was taking me to a different school. But from formal education, that's why I dropped out. I'm not saying you're on your own if you drop out. I didn't say you should drop out. I didn't say you should quit. You're on your own. I'm only telling you how desperate I was. I'm only telling you. Those that are close to me knew it. Then when I did, after I came out of fire, I said, okay, in fact, let me not even change course. I wanted to go and start afresh. I wanted to go and take a commercial subject now. So I was to go and sit down and start taking WAEC lessons. I was to start afresh, start taking WAEC lessons. Because now I'm a Christian. I was not going to go through special center. Before God revealed that he had other plans for me. But why are the cares of life killing the spiritual growth of some of us? Because of what you are going through, you are compromising. Because of what you are going through, you have made Jesus to look helpless. Where are the people that will say, even in my poverty, I will serve God? Where are the people that will say, though he slay me, I will trust in him? Where are the people that will say, I've tried my best, I'm depending on him, but whether he comes to my rescue or not, it will not stop me from walking with him? These are certain things that bring about lukewarmness in our lives. You want to make money, yes. And you know something about money, you know they satisfy. Better learn contentment. Learn when you will reach a level and say, oh, whether he give me, fine. If he doesn't give me, I'm okay. Learn contentment though. If not, you will just be in a rat race of life. Learn contentment. You reach 100 million, you discover that 100 million is nothing. This morning, I saw that per square meter in Ikoyi, now, per square meter, is 2.5 million naira. That's the cheapest. Okay, agents don't talk. That means a plot of land in Ikoyi is about 1.6 billion naira. Now, a plot of land in Ikoyi. is about 1.6 billion naira. So you just have 100 million in your account. Have you arrived? You have 100 million naira. You get anything? I say, Koyo, I'm not talking of Banana Island. Only God knows how much it is in Banana Island. What's that telling us? As Christians, contentment is necessary. Contentment is necessary. When you get to a state where you know God is meeting your needs, you are comfortable. I'm not saying you should not seek to be better. But also have contentment. Let not whatever you are seeking for stunt your growth spiritually. Let's not be lukewarm. Let's not what we are seeking for reduce our fire. Because of this pursuit of money and more money and more money and more money, you don't even give time to your spiritual life. You will be lukewarm now. The fire of the Holy Ghost is supposed to be ever burning. That means we are supposed to be utter and utter and utter. So if from the day you met with Christ till now, you are not utter, it means that lukewarmness is setting in. Now let me close with something. Let me tell you why this is necessary. Lukewarmness is a test of salvation. Listen to me, church. This is the reason why you should take this message serious. Lukewarmness is a test of salvation. The lukewarm Christians are likened to the seed that fell among thorns. Matthew 13, verse 22. In the book of Matthew, we are given the parable of the four types of soils. The one that fell by the wayside, unbelievers. Then there were some that received with joy. He said, when tribulations came, they ran. But there is the third side, the third soil. He also that received among the thorns is he that heareth the word. You come to bride assembly, you believe all what Pastor Moses is teaching. But something is happening. The care of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. In Mark and Luke, he said the lust for other things choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. Lukewarmness is a sincere test of salvation. It is a test of salvation because if the Spirit is truly in you, you won't be comfortable in lukewarmness after the Master rebukes you. Did you hear me? If you are truly connected to Him, you will not be comfortable in lukewarmness. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. It can be happening to you and you are living in it unknown to you, but something will happen. See, please. You people that used to fault our sermons in bride assembly, sermonize the pastor's sermons and think we don't know what we are saying. Look at what the Bible says. This is Jesus speaking. As many as I love, I cuddle. I rebuke and chasten. Then he says something. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now, it is a test of spirituality, of salvation. If the Spirit is truly in you, if you are truly connected to Him, He will rebuke you as He's doing with the sermons that come from holy pulpits. And when He does, you will not be comfortable in lukewarmness. But if the Spirit is not truly in you, no matter the experience you say you have had in Christ, if He's not dwelling in you, if you have not truly not received the Holy Ghost baptism, even when He rebukes you in lukewarmness, you will continue in it. So the question is not whether you have been lukewarm. The question is that after the rebuke, will you remain in lukewarmness? If lukewarmness persists after the rebuke of the Master, it is evident that such a person is disconnected from the source of heat. When you plug an iron, it is cold. But the moment you plug it and turn on the switch, it starts generating heat. It becomes hot, 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 hot. It remains hot as long as it is connected. It remains hot as long as it is on, the switch is on. But the moment the switch is off, you know something? It will still be hot for a little while. Lukewarmness starts setting in. Then before you know, it becomes cold. So this is a wake-up call. If you are truly connected to him, here is rebuke. Be free from lukewarmness. Look within. But you know what? You that you're already condemning even the sermon and the preacher, remain in your lukewarmness. It is evidence you are not connected. There's nothing we can do about you. You are the negative wire. You must remain. We will keep ailing you as a good church member. There's nothing we can do about, except God removes you by himself, or you break church law that demands that you be excommunicated. Other than that, but you, the believer, you that says you are connected to him, this end time message we preach is to wake us from lukewarmness. If we have received the end time message, our Christianity must be different from the Christianity of those who have not received it. Our version of Christianity must be different, because we say we are the wise virgins. We have something they don't have. We know something they don't know. So our lifestyle must be different from those who we say are foolish virgins. Bride of Christ all over the world, the end time message is to wake us up from lukewarmness. If you are truly connected to him, remove lukewarmness. Remove lukewarmness. Enough is enough of dressing like the church on Sunday and dressing like the world on Monday. Enough is enough of living like a Christian on Sunday and living like an unbeliever during the week. Let's remove lukewarmness. It is not our loud prayers. It's not our attendance in church. Christ is interested in the life we live. If among us there's still fighting, there's still hatred, bitterness, gossiping, there's still pulling people down with your words, there's still pride, there's still envy, jealousy, there's still fornication amongst us, then something is wrong. We cannot be the people who is preparing for the rapture, allowing this kind of manifestations in our lives. But you know something about God? He can't be stranded. He can't be stranded. He says, if you will not worship me, I will raise up stones to worship me. So don't think that heaven will not be filled because you miss heaven. God will always, for everybody that denies standing for Christ, there's another person somewhere that is standing up for him. For anybody that thinks that you are doing Christ a favor by serving him, there's another person somewhere that is saying that, Father, it is a privilege to live for you. Let's wake up from lukewarmness. Christians, don't be lukewarm. The unbeliever will never wake up. They will keep talking all manner of things. Even after a sermon like this, they will still fault the church and the preacher. They will never appreciate God for bringing them to a place like this. They are interested in all the negative things they can see. And you know what? If your mind is set on looking for negative things, you will definitely find it. If your mind is set on looking for faults, you will definitely find it. You can even find fault with the way I speak. You can even find fault with the way I dress, because you are poisoning your mind with fault finding. That's for the unbelievers. That's why you're in church. You are not in church to look at Calvary. But I'm talking to the believers this hour. Wake up from lukewarmness. Let's be Christians and Christians indeed. You that have gone down in service, go back to your department. Go back to that service you are doing for the Lord. You that used to burn in holiness, turn aside those worldly things. Remember Achan? He took of the accosting and he became a curse. Don't be like him. Don't be like him. Don't be lukewarm. Child of God, wake up from lukewarmness. Turn away from things that defile. Cut off friendships and relationships that will take you nowhere. Cut off associations that will pull you back. Separate from people that will kill your fire. Wake up from lukewarmness, child of God. Let us bow our heads. Bow your heads and talk to him. No, this is not a message to clap. It's not a time to clap. It's a time to reflect and talk to the Lord. Touch my life, oh Lord. Touch my life.
Oh,
touch my life.
Oh
Lord.
Touch my life.
Touch my life. Child of God, talk to him.
Touch my life.
Touch my life.
Oh Lord.
Touch my life.
Oh Lord.
Oh Lord. Talk to
touch
me.
My life.
Remove lukewarmness from my life, oh Lord.
Oh, touch my life.
Touch my life.
Oh Lord.
Touch my life.
Touch my life.
Touch my life.
Oh, touch my
And may the Lord answer that prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. May the Lord remove the condition of lukewarmness from us in the name of Jesus Christ.